If your credit card bills have gotten out of hand, call Consolidated Credit now. If you're making the minimum payments, but your balance is just not going down, call Consolidated Credit now. If the interest rates on your credit cards are so high, it will take years to get out of debt, call Consolidated Credit now. They've helped over 5 million people with credit card debt. They can consolidate your debts into one lower payment, reduce your interest rates, and get you out of debt fast. If you're struggling with credit card debt, the first step is yours. Call Consolidated Credit now. Call 800-463-1749. 800-463-1749. That's 800-463-1749. Consolidated Credit Counseling Services Incorporated, 5701 West Sunrise Boulevard, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33313. Not a loan company. Licensed by the New York Department of Financial Services and by the Vermont Department of Financial Regulation. Maryland DM19, Oregon DM80031. Licensed by the Virginia State Corporation Commission. License number DC32.
Come fly with me, let's fly away.
Welcome to Travel with Stephanie Abrams.
Well, I'm very happy you're with me today. We have so much to talk about. I'm going to be giving you a number of tips for traveling safely, and we're also going to be talking later today about the events in Nice and in Turkey and what impact that should or should not have on your travels. And just some general guidance and direction in that regard. But this hour, I'm going to take you off to something that I think you're going to find extraordinarily interesting, because I know I do. And before we go off to do that, I want to remind you that by the middle of this week, today's show will be podcast for a year. You can find the podcast at travelers411.com, the interactive side of our family of award-winning websites. And will be archived forever and ever. So when the year ends, you'll still be able to hear the archived audio forever. You'll find the archived audio cross-referenced in about 6 different places at least at our family of sites, because it's integrated into the show notes. And the last 2.5 to 3 months of shows and guests are featured on the homepage of S. Abrams, S-A-B-R-A-M-S.com. And when you click on either the shows or by, you know, their name, the date, whatever, or any of the guests in any particular show, it'll take you over to the show notes where you'll have access to click on the hour in which each guest appeared and listen to that hour or listen to the whole show. And even though it's on the homepage, every show is already archived into the calendars of archive shows. And you'll notice in the right-hand sidebar of the homepage of sabrams.com, there's a blue box there on the right side. It says on-air quick links. You'll see a spot to click for archived audio for Travel with Stephanie Abrams and for Travelers 411, heard over most of these same stations. And you can go in by date. But if you don't have a particular show in mind, but you know what you want to know about, go into the search box at the top of the page and put in the subject, the destination, the brand, the person's name, the country that you're interested in, and links to all of the above will come up for you to click on and find the audio and the show notes and my blogs that maybe I've written on the subject. So let's say, for instance, you were interested in video games and you thought there might be a video game museum, and just maybe we talked about it. All you need to do is go into the search box and put video game museum. And you know what? By the middle of this week coming up, you'd actually find results for that. Because we're going to be talking with one of the co-founders of the National Video Game Museum, located in Frisco, Texas. I'm not even sure you knew there was a Frisco, Texas, and I'm pretty sure you might not have known there's a video game museum. In fact, it's called the National Video Game Museum. And we're going to be talking with John Hardy, one of the co-founders, and I understand part of the visionary spearheading beam of light that helped to create this museum, and we're going to do that right after this.
Stephanie Abrams Travel Show is brought to you in part by the UK National Trust and Northern Ireland's North Coast. Dazzle your imagination with incredible places to explore, from the awe-inspiring Giant's Causeway to the natural stage settings for Game of Thrones. Discover Northern Ireland's North Coast. Visit nationaltrust.org.uk and search for Giant's Causeway. Stephanie Abrams Travel Shows brought to you by Galgorm Resort and Spa. When exploring Northern Ireland, indulge yourself in luxury at Galgorm Resort and Spa in Ballymena and experience their thermal village, complete with snow hut year-round. Visit galgorm.com for details.
Are you having any fun? What you getting out of?
I am very happy to have on the line with us John Hardy, co-founder, along with two other fine gentlemen, of the National Video Game Museum. It's located in Frisco, Texas, a place I have never been unless I've driven through it and didn't realize, because apparently it's right near Dallas. And their website is N for National, V for Video Game, M for Museum, USA.org. So that's NVMUSA.org. Thanks so much for making time for us today, John.
Hi, how are you today?
I'm fabulous. Ask anybody. But you knew that.
Yeah, I did.
Are you good?
Yeah, I'm good.
Okay, so now that we've established that, where did the motivation, impetus, desire to create the National Video Game Museum come from, John?
Well, it's been a project, myself and my two co-founders. We've individually been working on this for over 30 years now.
My word.
A long time, since the early 80s. We just had an interest in learning more about the games that we played, the games we grew up with. It was a whole, it was great. It was one thing to have the games and play them, but I think individually we each had a quest for knowledge. We wanted to know more about the games and what went on at the companies, and why certain games that we were waiting for never came out or never got released. We wanted to know a little bit of the backstory, to see what went on behind the scenes and what affected the industry decisions. And we've been doing that. We met up in, after doing it for many years individually, we met up in the 90s. And we basically joined forces with the ultimate vision of maybe one day having a physical museum that we could open to the public and share this knowledge with.
Your two other partners in crime here, Joe and Sean.
Joe Santulli, Sean Kelly, yes.
Now, did you know each other from a long time ago, or you were each interested doing your own thing and somehow the stars and the cosmic universe put you together?
So it was sort of like the cosmic universe thing. We each were doing our own thing. We were involved in bulletin board systems back in the 80s, which was the pre-internet and the way that we communicated with other people. And back then we would send out newsletters and emails, not emails, but actual mailing lists to each other. So we met through my partner Joe Santulli had started one of the earliest, what they call fanzines, called Digital Press, which was dedicated solely to video games and the history and information about them. And that's how we kind of came together, is through that medium.
Oh, wow. And how did Sean Kelly get into the mix?
He was one of my trading partners. When whenever we found, at the time, we were finding lots of, warehouses full of stuff that, never got sold. And we had, little trading groups that we dealt with other people, and we would trade our, we would buy everything and trade the extras to fellow collectors, and that's basically how Sean and I met.
Now, you're currently at this very moment not in Frisco, Texas, but on Long Island, a place I know well. Do the three partners live in different spots around the country?
We do. So Joe and I live the closest. Joe is from Clifton, New Jersey, in that area. And Sean is actually in Chicago, and I'm in Long Island, New York. So, yeah, we were in different parts. Obviously, Joe and I could see each other and catch up a little more often than Sean, but we still made a point to get out to his place a couple times a year. And, you know,
Is he still living in New Jersey, or is he down in Texas?
No, he moved to Texas.
Go him.
About a year and a half ago. And, you know, he was our feet on the street getting the museum up and running. But he did his time, and he's going to be moving back to New Jersey. And I'm going to be making the move down to Texas, take over.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Well, and a special hello to all of our listeners in the Houston to Galveston corridor who listen at KGBC AM 1520. We're talking about a place that can't be, I mean, everything is spread out and big in Texas, but it's an easy hop to get from the Houston Galveston area to the Dallas area and to Frisco, isn't it?
It is. Well, it's funny. I lived in Texas for about 5 years, many years ago. And if you told me I had to drive 4 or 5 hours to New York, I would, you know, want to slit my throat. But down there, it doesn't seem to be as big a deal. I mean, people do it all the time, a four-hour ride. And it's we definitely have a destination worth visiting. So I encourage everybody to come on up and enjoy what we have.
Well, we're going to take a quick commercial break, and we're going to come back and find out what is it that they have at the National Video Game Museum in Frisco, Texas. So don't leave me. This is Stephanie Abrams.
Better have some fun. You ain't going to live forever. Before you're old and gray, still okay. Have your little fun, son. Have your little fun.
This is Stephanie Abrams introducing you to Ireland's ancient East, where you'll immerse yourself in enchanted sights reflecting over 5,000 years of history. 2016 is the year to jump into Ireland and engage in personal experiences at sites with history from the dawn of civilization. Experience Boyne Valley at Newgrange, a site older than the pyramids. Visit early Christian sites of Clonmacnoise, Glendalough, and Tintern Abbey in County Wexford, Kilkenny's Medieval Mile, Waterford's Viking Quarter, and Long Crew Passage Tombs in County Meath. Ireland's Ancient East, a never-ending adventure into history with pampering modern amenities and delicious meals prepared by skilled chefs using wholesome Irish food products along your route. Ireland's Ancient East awaits you. Start planning at Ireland.com. Stephanie Abrams here inviting you to Northern Ireland's dazzling North Coast, where landscapes and seascapes inspire filmmakers to stage their works. Walk in mythical steps of giant Finn McCool at Giant's Causeway. Trek across Carrigaree Rope Bridge. Take a walk on the sugary sand of Port Stewart's Beach and have a bite and a pint at Harry Shack with a million-dollar sea view. Drive through the canopy of trees called Dark Hedges and visit Ballantoy Harbor and Quarry, all used as natural settings for Game of Thrones. Press on to Cushendon, a fairy tale enchanting seaside village where boutique shops and a local pub will surely entice you.
Start planning now. Visit nationaltrust.org.uk and search for Carrigaree. That's nationaltrust.org.uk. Search for Carrigaree.
If you're struggling to pay or haven't been making your student loan payments, listen carefully to this urgent alert. Have you been out of school for 10 or more years and you're still making your student loan payments? Are your student loans past due or even in default? Can't go back to school because of an old student loan problem? Fast Track Student Loans can get your student loans out of default, stop any wage garnishments, stop collection calls, and stop seizure of your tax refund. Give yourself a break. Stop the stress and get your student loan payments down to as little as $25 a month based on what you can afford to pay. One quick 10-minute call could help you solve your student loan problems. So call right now. Not available in all states. Payments may vary based on income.
800-685-0129. 800-685-0129. 800-685-0129. That's 800-685-0129.
Due to an upturn in the economy, Main Street Business Loans has pre-approved the release of millions of dollars in small business funding. Your business may already be pre-approved to receive up to $250,000. We've sent out millions of pre-approval letters. We see the economy growing, and our underwriters believe now is the time to invest in your business so you can grow faster and make more money. And we're prepared to give you up to $250,000 to do it. Your funds can be available in 5 days. There are no application fees, no annual fees, just quick access to up to $250,000. If your business did not receive your approval letter to get up to $250,000, call Main Street Business Loans Approval Desk now.
800-430-7570. 800-430-7570. 800-430-7570. That's 800-430-7570.
BizTalkRadio.com.
There's a yellow rose in Texas I'm going home to see.
It's Travel with Stephanie Abrams.
I have the pleasure of talking with a visionary, John Hardy. Not only a visionary, but a visionary who apparently has found two other people who love video games as much as he does, because they have created the National Video Game Museum in Frisco, Texas. And you can visit their website at nvmusa.org. So at what point did your interest in video games and connecting with Joe and Sean and saying, the three of us could pull this off, did you A, decide there needs to be this museum, and B, choose Frisco, Texas? Why?
Interesting. Well, we knew there was a bigger picture. You know, I don't think we set out to, you know, say, okay, we're going to join forces and we'll have this huge museum. That kind of evolved along the way. We actually formed one of the very first conventions for video games in the U.S. Called Classic Gaming Expo, and that was in 1999.
And I bet my son went to it.
It was held in Las Vegas.
I think the ones he thinks he went to were in Los Angeles. I don't remember if he ever went to one in Vegas, but he might have.
Maybe. But the Vegas one we did for years, and it was an annual get-together with like-minded people, and it grew pretty steadily over the years. And that's where we really first evolved the whole museum concept of putting some of our collection on display as an added feature, you know, for attendees to see some items that they wouldn't normally, you know, have or have access to. And that really evolved into a traveling exhibit that we started doing at, you know, trade shows like E3 and the Game Developer Conference.
Yeah, he would have been at E3.
Was that Los Angeles one?
That's the one. Yeah, that he went to that for years.
Right. So we did that for years, and just basically get adding shows to it and taking the stuff and setting up big displays there, and it was really well received. And in 2009, we formed a nonprofit, and we launched a Kickstarter 2 years later to generate some money to just to protect the collection as we were moving from point to point. And then we ended up in Frisco, and that was really...
But how did that happen? I mean, it's a big world out there. Why Frisco?
Well, there's no lie about it that our first intent was to be in the Silicon Valley area where the industry was born. Unfortunately, even as a nonprofit, reaching out to local Chamber of Commerce, there was really no response or no interest from anybody.
Wow.
In that area.
Shame on them.
Yeah, it is.
Shame on them. Yeah.
It went for us because, honestly, the city of Frisco is about 25 minutes north of Dallas, near Plano, but it's one of the fastest-growing cities and very forward-thinking cities.
I had to tell you about Frisco. And actually, I have an appointment tomorrow to chat with the fellow who is the CEO of the Convention and Visitors Bureau, or the whatever Visitors Bureau there is. They're a very nice fellow, and we need to talk. Because I have been getting, of late, more and more emails about things that are about to happen in Frisco. There's a new Omni Hotel going to open next year that's got a cowboy theme with wild and crazy accommodations that are, you know, just unique and adorable.
Sure.
And then I got something from somebody else. I forgot who it was. Trying to remember. But, I thought to myself, gee, we really ought to do a show about Frisco, Texas, because,
absolutely,
you know, just so much is going on. I want you to know that we have my assistant is with me here in the studio today. And she seems to have a great deal to say. Her name is Maggie McGee.
Okay.
And she is a Springer Spaniel. She's white and black and gorgeous, and she knows it. But so if you happen to hear her woof in the background, you'll know.
All right.
I just want you to know she's here with us because our studio is in the beautiful Berkshire Crown Plaza Hotel in Pittsfield, Massachusetts. And I wish you'd come up here and visit us. But we're in like a shopping arcade that wraps around the lobby of the hotel. And
right.
And it looks sort of like that when you see the Today Show studio on TV, you know, with the big windows and all, except they overlook Times Square, so we don't have as many people walking by our window. But now and then, Maggie needs to make it known that she is the chief woman in charge here. hear her have something to say. Okay, so you guys picked Frisco because clearly it's a happening city. There's things going on. You know, if Omni has chosen to build a new hotel that's, you know, this cowboy theme thing, that's got to do you some good, too.
It does. And I hate to use the word we chose Frisco. I like to say Frisco chose us because, aside from that, the Omni and the new Dallas Cowboy training facility being built nearby, it's already home to Dr. Pepper Ballpark and the Toyota up there with the stadium. And there's just so much going on, and you drive around, you can just see growth and construction going on everywhere. So, but Frisco's very forward-thinking, as I mentioned, technology-wise, and everybody we dealt with there was, you know, from the mayor down to
people
with the CDC and the EDC and the CVB. I got all the acronyms there, and
you got the alphabet.
They really were, really behind us 100%. And when we were first proposed it, they got right on board and they thought this is something we want. You know?
Silicon Valley's loss. And I have to tell you, you know, if you're, how far from Dallas are you?
It's about 25 minutes now.
Okay. So, you know, I used to do all kinds of national meetings, and I would pick somewhere between Chicago and Dallas or Chicago and Houston, you know, just go right down the middle of the country because it was, you know, half the distance for everybody to come if they were coming from the East Coast or the Left Coast.
Right.
So it was just easier in the middle. So to some degree, being in Dallas makes it easier for people from all over the nation to get to you. And Dallas is, you know, you can get there from anywhere in the world.
Right. And the great thing about Frisco and the surrounding areas is you can make a day out of it.
Yep.
If we're not able to hold you for the whole day at the museum,
right,
there's plenty of other stuff you can go do. It's,
right. Well, I
just
had on the air with me, I guess, week before last, or maybe it was last weekend, Olivier Millet, who is just winding up his tenure at as the associate director of curator activities at the Dallas Museum of Art. And I've never been to the Dallas Museum of Art. I've been to Dallas dozens and dozens of times, and I can't say I have seen everything there is to do or eaten in every single one. You can't find a normal restaurant in Dallas. They're all themed.
Yeah.
They're just everywhere. But every one of them is like walking into a restaurant at Epcot. You know, there's all, every restaurant is like, it's right. It's really an experience. And so, next time I go, I'm going to go visit the Dallas Museum of Art. I'm going to get to Frisco and come and visit you. I've got to go see this new Omni that's opening. I mean, it's just a lot of good stuff going on. Stay with us. We got to take a quick commercial break. We're going to come back and you're going to walk us through what it is we're going to see when we go to the National Video Game Museum in Frisco, Texas. Don't leave me, people.
A sparkling summer awaits you at Tanglewood, home of the Boston Symphony Orchestra in the beautiful Berkshires. Maestro Andras Nelsons and world-famous guest conductors lead the BSO in the music of Mozart, Beethoven, Tchaikovsky, Ravel, Dvorak, and more. Also at Tanglewood, Keith Lockhart and the Boston Pops, presenting Raiders of the Lost Ark on the silver screen, accompanied by orchestra, and much more. Get your tickets now. Call 888-266-1200 or visit Tanglewood.
Hi, I'm Stephanie Abrams. The lives of ordinary people are ensnared in a web of intrigue, and it all starts with rumors. The story is fast-paced and draws the reader into the characters' experiences as secrets, lies, and conspiracies grow from rumors and create chaos in a quiet suburban community. Rumors, your perfect leisure time companion.
Rumors by Stephanie Abrams. Visit sabrams.com/rumors.
Have you heard about BizTV? BizTV is the home for America's entrepreneurs, small businesses, and those who want to succeed in life. It's the first national television network committed to airing original, high-quality, educational, and inspirational programming about real business people. Small businesses drive America forward, generating 64% of all new jobs in the last decade. With over 30 million small businesses in the U.S., shouldn't you be watching BizTV? With the right kind of ideas, motivation, and education to help fuel the next generation of business owners, BizTV is the network you should be watching. Success stories, new ideas turned into businesses, programs full of sales tips, goal setting, how to manage, how to raise capital, and improving work-life balance. BizTV is for those who want to succeed. Visit BizTV.com and call your satellite or cable service provider to request BizTV.
Here's George Foreman with InventHelp.
Hi, I'm George Foreman. Do you have an idea for a new product or invention? People ask me all the time, George, how do I get my idea in front of companies? How do I get a patent? What do I do next? Do you have the same questions? I'll tell you like I'll tell them all. Call my friends at InventHelp.
Call InventHelp today for free information. InventHelp has been helping inventors for more than 30 years and has sales offices nationwide. InventHelp can submit your invention to companies who are interested in receiving new ideas. If you have an idea and want to try to patent it and submit it to companies, you should call InventHelp today for free information.
Listen, I can't guarantee a company will be interested in your idea, but I believe every inventor deserves the opportunity to step into the ring and take their best shot. Put InventHelp in your corner.
To get your free inventor's information, call 1-800-351-1453. That's 1-800-351-1453. Again, 1-800-351-1453.
Have you written a book and want to get it published? Then call Page Publishing ASAP. We're looking for authors of all types of books. And unlike most publishers, Page Publishing will take the time to review each and every book submitted to us. And we'll give you our feedback. And if we like what we read, we will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, the Apple iTunes Store, Barnes & Noble, and other outlets. We handle everything. Editing, cover design, copyright protection, printing, publicity, and distribution. So if you've written a novel, children's book, cookbook, inspirational work, poetry, or a biography and want to get it published, call Page Publishing now for your free author submission kit. Your road to fame and fortune could very well start with this simple phone call.
888-785-0618. 888-785-0618. 888-785-0618. That's 888-785-0618. National Funding Group has just released $100 million in easy access small business funding to businesses that gross at least $100,000 a year. You can have fast access up to $500,000 in new business capital in as little as 48 hours. Think about the ways you could grow your business if you had up to $500,000 cash infusion. Call a NFG funding expert now. The process is easy. It only takes about 5 minutes. Then our management-owned lending team looks at your application for a fast approval. You can get 100% funded in about 2 days. If you need up to $500,000 in working capital to run your business and you gross at least $100,000 a year, call NFG and apply today. 800-296-1564. 800-296-1564. 800-296-1564. That's 800-296-1564.
BizTalkRadio.com. It's Travel with Stephanie Abrams.
I am delighted to have on the line with me John Hardy. John is one of the three co-founders of the National Video Game Museum. I think, John, you are giving the word museum a good name because there are far too many people who hear the word museum and cringe because they have memories of being dragged around when they were little tiny people with little tiny legs and little tiny feet who were overtired and overhungry and overheated and over miserable and vowed that when they grew up, nothing that said museum would ever get their body inside again. So, you know, I always look for the kinds of museums that you don't come out on all fours crawling your way out like a dead one. So this is how big is your museum in Frisco, Texas?
It's just over 11,000 square feet, and that's great that you said that because, honestly, that's exactly how we feel. My partners and I, when we set out to do this, we said, you know what? We don't like museums.
And nobody does.
No, because they're boring, and they, you know, it's cool. You can see some dinosaur bones or something, and, you know, but there's nothing really to do except read about it and, you know, maybe there's some simplistic buttons. They try to make it interactive by you push a button and something lights up. And we said, you know, if we're doing a museum, we need to evolve the concept or turn the whole concept on its head. And I think we've, based on the feedback, what we get is that we've done that. So yeah. Our museum is meant to be interactive, and it is interactive. Every exhibit in there, except for maybe one or two, has an interactive component to it that you can actually get involved in. We want you to come in and play and learn, and it's not just about playing. There's things to do that, you know, aren't involved in playing, but it's all about learning the history and learning how games affected culture and, you know, different eras. And it's really great. And that's what we did is we made it a very hands-on, very interactive thing. People constantly, you know, touching and playing and doing stuff.
Well, you know, the thing, and then my comment about nobody does in terms of museums, the problem that the big classical style museums like the Louvre, like the Metropolitan Museum of Art in New York City, like so many other huge establishments, is that they cover civilization from the beginning of time. And if you go in with the attitude that, well, you're visiting the city, or even if you live in the suburbs of a city and you come into to visit and you're now, I paid my money at the door, my donation at the door, I'm gonna, you know, we're gonna see it all. And that's like the worst way to go. You really have to decide, what do we want to see today? Pick a piece of it. See that piece of it, stop for a snack, a meal, or something. Maybe you want to go and see another little piece or not. Go on, leave the building, come back another day. Because that's why, you know, I said, you know, when the reason people have an initial negative reaction to the word museum is that they were tortured as children, being dragged through far more than they could handle in a day.
Right, right.
So,
and honestly, the flip side of that is what we've seen also is in the past, I don't know, 2 years even, is a bunch of so-called, I use quote-unquote, video game museums that are really nothing more than, you know, somebody rents a warehouse and puts a bunch of arcade machines in there and they call it a museum. But there's no educational component to it. It's open, you know, whenever they're available to show it to somebody. And, you know, we wanted that fine line. We try to educate people as much as possible that this is a real museum. I mean, we hired, you know, museum design firms to build the exhibits. It's a very professional thing. It's not just a bunch of games thrown in there. There's huge exhibits and, you know, a perfect example. when you first walk in, we have a giant home pong console there.
Oh,
that
gosh.
You can play, and the knobs are as big as steering wheels. It's definitely the largest pong console in the world. We haven't gotten to Guinness yet.
I wonder how many of my... now, I'm glad you said Guinness, because I have something in mind for you. And I don't mean a pint, but I wonder how many of my listeners have no idea what Pong is. You know where you see Pong now?
Okay.
Do you have DirecTV?
I do not have DirecTV.
Okay. Now. Well, I don't know if the other, satellite TV delivery systems do the same thing, but DirecTV has a logo that's like a little rectangle, and it's, I don't know, on a TV screen, it shows up. I don't even know how to describe this because I can't describe it in pixels. See, my son could do that for you, but it's a couple inches tall and a few inches wide, and it says DirecTV in the middle. And if you put a show you're watching on pause, first the screen will freeze for a while, and then this little rectangle will show up that says DirecTV, and it'll bounce around your screen.
Oh,
and
wow.
What's bouncing around the screen? It's Pong.
That's basically Pong.
There's no question. It is Pong bouncing around your screen. And so for my listeners who have no clue what Pong is, if you've got DirecTV, when you put your TV on pause long enough that the picture goes away and the symbol, the logo of the company comes up just hitting the sidewalls like a ping pong ball. That's the essence of Pong, and you used to be able to get in there with a little, whatever they call those things that you hold in your hand and you make
the little paddles.
Yeah, and you make it go left and right, and you could play ping pong on the screen.
Yeah.
That was the first video game, wasn't it? How was that different from Atari?
Certainly the most well-known, but not technically the first, but it's what everybody remembers, because Pong was the one that had all the home versions once they designed it, where they could basically put it on a chip. Then you had a zillion clones, and everybody was making a Pong console. So people remember that as, the one that burned into your black and white TV.
And then
your parents had a stroke, and, because you ruined their TV. But, it was interesting, at the time. That's what it was.
You mentioned that part of what the exhibits do at the National Video Game Museum in Frisco, Texas, just outside of Dallas, for those of you who've just joined us. You mentioned that the information presented, in addition to the interactive this and that that's going on there, deals with how video games have affected the culture.
Absolutely.
And what's the lesson in there? What's the message?
Well, it's something that we see with some of the younger classes that come through on school trips and stuff. We basically recreate. We have several areas, and throughout the museum, there's a bunch of what we call photo ops. So we want you to stand there and take a picture doing something. So in one area, we recreated a mom and pop video game store right around the time of the crash, in 83, 84. When the market was falling, the bottom fell out on the market for video games. And it's a recreation store and has a clearance bin and all stuff, appropriate to the era. And we encourage people to go back there and pretend that there, has a big store closing sign. And,
wow.
The games are cheap. And, see what it was like to be the owner, as people come up and ring up and take a picture. It's kind of cool. But the lesson there is to learn, how these non-chain stores were being decimated because they couldn't. First, it's hard enough for a mom and pop outfit to keep up with the buying power of a national chain.
Right.
But in addition to that, they were getting destroyed because they didn't have the ability to return quantities of product or whatever that the big chains did. There's two other areas that we have. One we've done for years at our different exhibits called the 80s Living Room. And it's more like a late 70s holdover, early 80s living room recreation. Big console TV.
Oh, cool.
Paneling on the walls and an old 80s funky couch.
That is so cool.
We encourage people to sit down and play in the living room. And the game's a game system set up there for them to play. Right across from that, we have the 80s bedroom, which is something new we've done. We basically recreated like a mid-80s bedroom with, you know, Pac-Man sheets and, you know, the dungaree jacket with a band on the back, painted on the back, and there's a Nintendo in there for, you know, people who got their first Nintendo. And you'll see skateboards and albums and all kinds of, you know, decorations from the era. And it's really, really one of the most popular areas. You see people all the time. The whole family just go in and they sit on the bed and the chair and the beanbag and they're playing the games and just having a blast.
That's very cool. We're going to take a quick commercial break and come back because I want to pick up on a couple of things that you said there I think are very, very interesting. Don't leave me. We're talking with John Hardy, co-founder with his two partners in the National Video Game Museum located in Frisco, Texas. And all you folks listening on KGBC AM 1520 in the Houston-Galveston corridor, you get there real easy. So why don't you start packing your things? Go take yourself a little ride. We'll be right back. Stephanie Abrams. Stephanie Abrams here, inviting you to Northern Ireland's North Coast, where landscapes and seascapes inspire filmmakers. Walk in mythical footsteps of giant Finn McCool at Giant's Causeway. Trek across Carrickaree Rope Bridge. Enjoy miles of sugary sand at Port Stewart Beach. And have a bite at Harry's Shack with its million-dollar panoramic beach view.
Visit nationaltrust.org.uk and search for Giant's Causeway.
It's time to see New York and save 15% with Amtrak. Take your next trip outside big city limits and see more of what New York has to offer. A world of natural beauty, culture, wineries, charming historic towns, outdoor adventure, and delicious locally sourced cuisine await you when you board your Amtrak train in New York City or anywhere along the Hudson Valley route to Albany and beyond, where a wealth of natural wonders await you. Choose from several Amtrak routes that reach all corners of New York State. Take in the beauty of Niagara Falls and Lake Placid or head for Montreal, all while taking advantage of your 15% savings. While enjoying spacious seats, easy boarding, and free Wi-Fi. That's the comfort and convenience of traveling with Amtrak. After you book and save 15% on your next trip, visit newyorkbyrail.com for additional destination information to plan activities for your visit. Plan your Amtrak 15% savings getaway today. Restrictions and blackout dates apply. For details, visit amtrak.com.
A sparkling summer awaits you at Tanglewood, home of the Boston Symphony Orchestra in the beautiful Berkshires. Maestro Andras Nelsons and world-famous guest conductors lead the BSO in the music of Mozart, Beethoven, Tchaikovsky, Ravel, Dvorak, and more. Also at Tanglewood, Keith Lockhart and the Boston Pops, presenting Raiders of the Lost Ark on the silver screen, accompanied by orchestra, and much more. Get your tickets now. Call 888-266-1200 or visit tanglewood.org.
Are you ready to leave your corporate job behind and be your own boss? Have you ever dreamed of owning a business? Do you have $50,000 or more sitting around in a 401k? If you answered yes, it's time to invest in yourself by buying or starting a business or franchise. IRS code allows you to use money in a 401k to invest in a business with absolutely no penalties or taxes. At Guidant Financial, we've helped more than 11,000 entrepreneurs invest $3 billion in retirement assets into the small businesses and franchises of their dreams. So if you've got $50,000 or more in a 401k and you're looking for a way to start a business, call Guidant Financial now for free information and to learn more. Operators are standing by for your call. 800-570-6630. 800-570-6630. 800-570-6630. That's 800-570-6630.
We paid less for our Craftmatic today than we did 20 years ago.
If you're still searching for the perfect solution to a good night's sleep, call now for prices and free information on today's Craftmatic adjustable beds. And then decide when you see how little they cost. Rated number one by consumers nationwide on ConsumerAffairs.com. Craftmatic beds come in all mattress types, including cool gel memory foam for up to 50% less than today's leading memory foam brand. Enjoy temporary relief of low back pain, poor circulation, nighttime heartburn, mild arthritis. You'll sleep better in a Craftmatic adjustable bed. adjustable bed. So if you're still searching for the perfect solution to a good night's sleep, call now for prices and information. And then decide when you see how little they cost. Discover Craftmatic for less, up to 50% less than today's leading memory foam brand.
Call 1-800-316-5271. That's 1-800-316-5271. 1-800-316-5271. Call now.
Hi, I'm Joan London. If you're worried about your parent or loved one living alone, like I was, and you want reliable senior care information, then call A Place for Mom, the nation's largest senior living referral service.
Finding an apartment that was on the courtyard with the view of the trees, the view of the ducks, the stream, the creek, all of that was what I needed.
You'll get free information on assisted living, Alzheimer's care, nursing homes, even important financial information. Here's the number.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 800-451-2976. That's 800-451-2976.
A Place for Mom is a free service, and you can trust them to help you. So if you're struggling to find reliable senior living information, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 800-451-2976. That's 800-451-2976.
BizTalkRadio.com.
Get here.
It's Travel with Stephanie Abrams.
I'm very much enjoying my chat, and I hope you are, sitting in with me, talking with John Hardy. He's the co-founder with two other buddies of the National Video Game Museum, and it's located in Frisco, Texas, which is an easy reach from Dallas. And their website is nvmusa.org. But if you're driving, don't worry about it. Just go to sabrams.com and just scroll down the homepage and you'll see right there and right at the top. You can just click right through and the link is there to get to their website. If you're listening for the first time and by the time you turn the car off, you don't remember who was that woman, go to Google and just put in radio show travel expert, and you can't lose me because I dominate that broadcast media space. You know, you said a couple of things that brought interesting things to mind for me, John. With yep. an 11,000 square foot exhibit area that has interactive everything and all kinds of educational this and that, one of the comments you made was having an area that is focused on how video games have affected the culture. And what came to my mind immediately, John, was a bunch of years ago, it's got to be at least 10 or maybe even 15 years ago, I remember reading an article with some quotes from the head mucky mucks at the Air Force Academy, saying that the generation of students coming in who wanted to be in the Air Force, who wanted to be pilots, and they would put them through their paces using cockpit simulators where they had to deal with all kinds of eye-hand coordination and this and that, and even learning how to, you know, sight something on the ground and drop something to it, whether it was a care package or something worse. That their scores were so much higher than their peers in earlier decades. And they said, you know, you heard so much in the early stages of video games about how they were ruining people's eyes and their minds and their muscles and their brains were just going to marshmallows. And they were saying just the opposite, that they were getting these amazingly skilled people who came in because they had been for the last 10 years or more, 15 years, they were honing all their skills playing video games.
Well, there's no doubt that, you know, there's certainly, and even more so today with games, you know, obviously some of these games are crazy, Call of Duty and things like that, that hone your eye-hand coordination. But even back in the 80s, I mean, Atari, the famous story is their game, their arcade game Battlezone, was adapted by I think it was the Army for as the Bradley tank trainer.
Wow!
They had a special version that they would use for, as a simulator. And simulators themselves whether flight simulators or, you know, submarine simulators have been around for, you know, for ages now. So there's no question that the knowledge and the coordination, you know, and means necessary have been there. So it doesn't surprise me at all that there's been an increase in the abilities and skills of some of the people now.
It's a pity that Atari chose the Bradley tank instead of the Abrams tank. Yeah. I would have liked that. I would have liked that a lot. Yeah. I mean, a lot of times when people don't know how to spell Abrams, I tell them like the tank, but sometimes that goes over their head.
Yeah, I know.
The other thing that came to mind when you were talking, CBS Video came out with arcade games early on in the 80s. And if you went to Europe, and yeah, in France, in England, in Germany, I mean, it didn't matter where you go. If you went into a movie theater, they might have the arcade games, you know, in the lobby of the theater, and they were always CBS Video. They had the market cornered in Europe, and really? Somehow that didn't happen. Now, you were talking about you guys went in and bought out, you know, discontinued stuff. Was any of that CBS Video stuff?
Well, in the I'm not so sure on the you're saying CBS.
Yeah, the broadcasting yeah. people.
Yeah, I don't know how much presence they may have had overseas arcade wise versus in the U.S. It was really just on the home side. You know, CBS.
No, they had a significant presence. It used to shock me. We were traveling all over France, and every place we went, there were CBS videos.
Yeah, over here it was more of a U.S. In the U.S., it was more for the home consoles and computers, CBS Electronics, CBS Software.
Yeah.
But it's interesting, you know, we talk about the arcades. That's a great point I actually wanted to mention before. When we talked about how you know, video games have affected culture, I think there's no greater example of that, you know, bedrooms, living rooms, et cetera, but the arcade itself. I mean, when we were younger, and I say we, I'm a 50-year-old gentleman.
I'm only 19.
All right, so there you go. So you wouldn't know this, but, but you know, arcades were our meeting grounds. They were dark, dimly lit. You know, the music was playing, and all you know, it was illuminated by the glow of the machines themselves. But that's where we spent our youth, and we met up there, and if somebody wasn't there, you know, what happened? So-and-so is not here. He must be sick or grounded or, you know, whatever the case may be. But that was our social scene. And it's interesting today that has, you know, said almost that has disappeared. You know, people play now with games, but they play, you know, by themselves in their house. Yeah, they play online with friends and stuff, but it's not the same experience, and I don't think the kids today will ever know the experience that we had of going and hanging out with your friends at an actual arcade. And to come to the museum, we do have a probably the most awesome arcade out there. It's neon colors, dimly lit.
Oh, I got to do
playing.
This. You have a Miss Pac-Man?
Of course we do. We have a high score board that you put your name up if you have the high score.
I'm never getting near a high score. I love that game. I'm miserable at it. And as somebody who used to love me bought me one, and I still play it. But
great game.
Just
great game.
A little quick aside. You live on Long Island. You're close enough to fly from either JFK or Newark. Virgin Atlantic flies from there. I haven't been in a Virgin. Well, I used to fly from Newark all the time because we lived in New Jersey. So I used to fly with Virgin Atlantic to London and beyond. And their upper class lounge at London Heathrow, it's worth paying to have the ticket just to go to their upper class lounge. They have an arcade. They made it dark in the lounge. You could also take a shower, get your hair cut. You know, your hamburger will come out on a train along the counter. I mean, it's Richard Branson's wild sense of humor. But they had an area inside the upper-class lounge of Virgin Atlantic at London Heathrow where you could go in and play video games until you were ready to go board your flight. I can't believe it. We've come to the end of the hour. You and I have to talk again soon. Thank you so much for joining us. Everybody, stay with me. We're flying high.
The opinions you hear on Biz Talk Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Biz Talk Radio, its management, or advertisers. The information on Biz Talk Radio does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or service. If you have any questions about Biz Talk Radio, contact us at 817-274-1609 or at biztalkradio.com. biztalkradio.com.